Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. To the saints and the faithful friends of Christ at the Greenwood Baptist Church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm truly, truly thankful and grateful to be here this morning and to have the invitation to stand before you all this morning and to try and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to worship with you and to fellowship with the people of God. And I'm also especially thankful to Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time to return my phone calls, to answer my emails and all the questions that I had. This was a situation where, again, I understand there was an emergency, so I didn't have a whole lot of time. And then when I got the call, of course, I said, yes, anytime I have an opportunity to serve, I try to go and I do that. So thank you so much for your spirit of generosity towards me and taking the time to respond to my questions. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And you should know, in addition to speaking to Jeremy, I did my homework. Yes, I did. I was a Boy Scout, and the Boy Scout motto said, be prepared. Right? So I tried to get prepared before coming here, and that required me to go on to the internet and to look up, or as I met Sister OKK on the bus this morning, she said, oh, you must be Reverend Singletary. I Googled you last night. I said, okay, well, what did you find? She said, not very much. I was like, that's because I'm not important, amen? So I tried to be prepared, and I did the same thing, I confess. I said, I Googled Greenwood Baptist Church, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did because I saw y'all YouTube videos and all the Facebook comments, the Instagram. I saw all your government information, as the kids would say. So I was surfing the internet, and I came across the videos, and it was like hitting the Lotto Mega Million jackpot. I know you're wondering why, right? Because, and I said, praise the Lord, glory be to God, they got a singing gospel choir, and they can sing, and they know how to set the atmosphere and to usher in the presence of the Lord. And that was like winning the lotto to me, because you see, I'm not one of those, as we say down south, one of those singing preachers, right? Deacon Lindsay, I apologize this morning because you got an earful of it. I'm not one of those singing preachers. And the last time I was invited out to do pulpit supply, guess what? They did not have a choir. And I was like shaking in my boots, and my voice started to tremble, and my heart was like pounding in my chest, and my palms was all clammy and sweaty. And I was looking at the piano player, and he was looking back at me like... I was like, what's going on here? And the funny thing, I realized he was a hired musician. He wasn't a member of the church. The church was a Baptist church, and he was Seventh-day Adventist. So he was just there playing music. He didn't sing. So I was looking at him, and the congregation was mute. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. And I mean, they were so quiet, and they were just sitting there staring up at me. And so meanwhile, again, the piano player, he's looking at me, Sister O'Keefe, and I'm looking back at him. And I said, well, he's going to win this competition here. So in that moment, I realized that I was going to have to sing. And you should know, while again, I'm not one of those singing preachers, I did my best and I sung that song. And I sung that song as if I was singing to the glory of God. But praise be to God this morning that I don't have to sing. Amen? And you don't have to worry about listening to me sing. So will you please pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Pour down on us like rain and fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving, so that we might draw near to you as we lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of salvation, O God, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will stir up a mighty wind this morning and push us into your presence so that we might hear a word from you. Now, Lord, I pray that I might decrease and that your Spirit and your presence and your power will increase. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our brother, our friend, and our Redeemer. Let everyone say amen. Amen. So the scripture lesson that I want to bring center stage this morning is taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And it reads, "Meanwhile, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' He asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The reply came, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' He answered, 'Here I am, Lord.' The Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias went and entered the house, and he laid hands on Saul and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." The word of God for the people of God. Greenwood Baptist Church, how many of you know that the presence of the Lord is here? There is a song by Byron Cage, and it is called "The Presence of the Lord is Here." It has an upbeat tempo and an enjoyable melody. It just pulls you right in when it comes on. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it this morning. You already know I can't sing like that. And the intro to the song says, "The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere, Greenwood. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here." The title of my sermon this morning, "The Presence of the Lord is Here," is borrowed from that song. The book of Acts, it tells a dramatic story that is believed to be a continuation from Luke's gospel because they are both addressed to the same person, Theophilus, which in the Greek can mean a friend of God, a loved by God. And essentially, this book was written to us, for us today, as we are both friends of God, and we are most assuredly, Javon, loved by God. And the book of Acts tells us how the early church and the way, the early name of Christianity, was started and how it spread throughout the Roman Empire. So you see, Greenwood, a lot has already gone down in the book of Acts. And at the beginning of this book, the members of the way, they were given a promise, Sister OKK. They were given a promise of the Holy Spirit. And next we see the Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost. And then we hear Peter preach to the crowds, and we witness Stephen get arrested and stoned to death as Saul stood by. He watched and he approved of this death, of Stephen's death. So now we can get on that B69 like we rode this morning, and we sit on the right side, and you get a full view in that big window. You get a clear view. You see everything. So imagine riding that B69, and we enter into chapter 9. And we meet Saul in full swing action. He's persecuting members of the church of the way, and he's diligently trying to destroy them. He's diligently trying to destroy their faith. He's diligently trying to destroy the hope that they have in Christ Jesus. And today, I don't want to focus on Saul's perversion. Instead, I want to focus on the way he responded to the presence of the Lord and how that encounter impacted his life and his conversion. When we experience a conversion, there's a change in our attitude, a change in our behavior, a change in the way we think, a change in our gaze, how we see the world, a change in how we look and how we experience the culture of our church. And I like how the songwriter Walter Hawkins described it in his music. He says, a change, a wonderful change has come over me. And I believe that Saul had an encounter with the presence of the Lord. And I believe that Saul's encounter with the presence of the Lord caused him to change. Amen? It gave him an attitude adjustment. And truth be told, some of us, even the adults, we always want to point to the kids and say, oh, you need to have your attitude in check. But reality is, we too need to have an attitude adjustment. This experience, this encounter, it took his sight. And 3 days later, it restored his sight. It set him free from his sinful ways, and it placed him on the path of righteousness. This encounter with the presence of the Lord, it opened the door to what I'd like to call his divine destiny. We had already heard of Paul's behavior and his posture prior to this encounter. So now Paul had a change of heart, and it gave him a complete makeover. And I'm going to keep it real like my teens say. They say, Rev, I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 100%. The presence of the Lord is legit, y'all. It is real. Sister OKK is laughing because I told her this morning, adults is not my thing, but I stand before you anyway, and I try to bring the word of God to the people of God. Amen? So you have to stay with me because I'm always around young adults, and I have to learn their language to be fluent in their language to keep up with them. Right, Javon? Javon is always hipping me to the latest dialogue. And so I believe like Saul, some of us in the church and at home, and yes, even in the White House, we can use a change of attitude. And the scripture says, if you don't believe me, read it for yourself. The challenge is, the reason why some of us can't come into the presence of the Lord is because we don't take the time to spend with the Lord. Amen. We don't take the time to read. We don't take the time to study the word of God. We want the preacher to preach at us, not to us, at us. But we have a responsibility. We have a duty and a responsibility to study, to show thyself approved, so that we ourselves can take the initiative to enter into the presence of God and to be with God. Amen? And so the scripture says, a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. So when you come into God's presence, you already know that you're coming into a supernatural experience. We see this divine light, it falls on Paul. And when you come into the presence of the Lord, you can expect to hear the voice of the God of the Lord. And so the Lord called out to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he called out, who are you? When the presence of the Lord fall upon you, it will make you call out to the Lord. Who are you? And then when the presence of the Lord falls upon you, Deacon Lindsay, it will bring revelation. It reveals the truth to you. And the truth says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And after the revelation comes, then comes the instruction. We look at the scripture. He says, after he saw this, then the instruction came, but get up and enter into the city, and you will be told what to do. And in the same way, when we encounter God's presence, we can expect the truth to be revealed. We can expect a visit from God's divine manifestation. And we can expect to be given direction to put us on the path of righteousness for his namesake that will lead us to our divine destination. And how many of you know that God's presence brings with it truth? And we know, saints, that the truth shall set us free. How many of you know that God's presence brings with it revelation that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior? And how many of you, saints, know that God's presence brings with it instruction and we will be put on the path towards our divine destination for his name's sake, not ours? So my Hebrew professor at Union Theological Seminary, she taught me the most common Hebrew term for presence was panim, P-A-N-I-M, which is translated to face-to-face, or it implies a close or personal encounter and relationship with the Lord. And if any of you have ever had an encounter with the presence of the Lord, then I know you understand what I'm talking about. I know somebody at Greenwood have experienced the presence of the Lord. It will make you sing when you can't sing. It will make you sing even when you don't want to sing. It will make you cry out when you have nothing to cry about. Even in the midst of your pain, when you come into contact with the presence of the Lord, it will make you shout out to God, it is well in my soul. And the scriptures teaches us that the presence of the Lord has always been with us and will always be with us from generation to generation. And that's why the psalmist writes in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand, God's hand, saints, will guide us." God has the power to be present everywhere at the same time. And as when we ask, how is it humanly possible to be everywhere at the same time, especially in the city that never sleeps, where we always have three different events to get to and three different boroughs, and we can take three different modes of transportation, including that B67 or the B69, a cab, or Uber, or the express train, and we still can't get to all three places at the same time. We can't even get there on time. As New Yorkers, we are always late, amen? But when the presence of the Lord is upon you, you try your best to be on time, like I was this morning, right, Lindsay? And that's because we are not God's saints. We are humans made in God's image, and God's ways are not our ways. And more than that, haven't you heard it said in Luke's gospel that what is impossible for human beings is possible for God? Excuse me. You see, saints, God's promises are not like our promises. We make promises and we don't keep them. We make empty promises without regard for those people that we have made the promise to. But God's ways, again, are not our ways. God has promised us in Exodus 33:14, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. God has promised us that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. God has promised us, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Those are not my words. Those are God's words spoken to the people of God. And when you come into the presence of God, you have the ability to understand, to commune with God, to be on the same frequency with God, and you can hear God's words in a new light. And I wonder, has God made promises to you at Greenwood Baptist Church? Has God promised anyone here anything? If God has, and I guarantee you, saints, if God has spoken to you, if God has promised you anything, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it sounds like. We just have to keep waiting patiently and standing firmly in the faith and on the promises of God. That's why the prophet Isaiah encourages the people of God to wait on the Lord. He reminds us that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run, Greenwood, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I believe that when we encounter the presence of the Lord, we encourage ourselves and we encourage one another to stand firm on the promises of God. And I'm sure that the members of the way thought it was impossible for Saul to change. I know I would have. Ananias was skeptical. You heard him say, Lord, you want me to go? This man is slaying people. This man has a permission from the chief priest, and you want me to go to him? I would hesitate too. But when the presence of the Lord is upon you, it cancels out fear. It gives you courage. It gives you hope, especially considering his attitude and his behavior towards the church. We know from the scripture, as my youth would say, he was doing the most. He was doing the most, Reverend Jay. If you are like me, you must have wondered. You had to have wondered if you listened to the scripture and you read it. How can you go from persecuting the church to preaching the gospel? How can you go from destroying the church to making disciples for Christ? How can you go from carrying out evil thoughts and making plans to making plans to exalt and praise the Lord in spirit and in truth? Except we have an encounter with the risen Christ. Except we have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, Reverend Smith, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And let me ask it to you, Greenwood, in a very personal way. How can we, saints, be set free from the trouble of this world? How can we at Greenwood be set free from the self-imposed strife and stress because we can't have things the way we want it? We can't have our way. How can we be set free from the despair, the death, and the destruction all around us? And how can we be set free from what I will call the millennial Pharaoh? How can we be set free from the millennial Pharaoh? You see, the millennial Pharaoh looks very different from the Pharaoh of the Old Testament. I know you wonder, well, what is this millennial Pharaoh looks like? You probably know already, but I'll help you out. So what does the millennial Pharaoh look like? The millennial Pharaoh looks like the pain that we carry, saints, as people. It looks like the hate that we harbor in our hearts and keep us fighting within ourselves and keep us fighting others. It looks like the anger and the anguish we feel from the horrible acts of injustice that we are forced to live with. The millennial Pharaoh looks like the rage we feel because we are trapped by our present conditions. The millennial Pharaoh looks like the obsession we feel by the repetitive negative thoughts that crowd our minds to the point that we become numb, we become depressed, we become disconnected. And the millennial Pharaoh looks like the anxiety we feel from worrying about things that we cannot change. Haven't you heard in the Gospels where God said, why worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear? If I feed the birds of the air, what more will I do for you? So why worry? The millennial Pharaoh looks like the humiliation we feel from the abuse and the victimization that we have suffered. And many of us, yes, the saints, we ourselves are still held in bondage by the millennial Pharaoh. And as a result, saints, we have become frozen. You think it's cold and it's frigid outside, but we in our hearts, we in our spirits, we have become frozen. And when an object is frozen, it is very cold. It is hard. It is hollow. It is slippery. You can't get no traction with it. And let me put it another way. When we are frozen, saints, we can't move past the pain and the hurt. When we are frozen, we are filled with fear. When we are frozen, our hearts are hardened, and we won't let anything, let alone anybody else, in. Recently, I had the pleasure of hanging out with some little people, like my man right here, over here. I was hanging out with them. I have a 12-year-old mentee. and I was hanging out watching the Disney movie about two sisters. You know the movie, it's called Frozen. How many of you ever seen it, right? So the older sister, Elsa, was born with this power to freeze things. And the younger sister, Anna, was like you and me. She was just ordinary. And one day they got into it, and in a fit of rage, Elsa struck Anna. And as a result, Anna's heart and her entire being was frozen. She was just frozen. And the only thing that could save Anna, or the only thing if my grandmother would say that could unthaw Anna, or thaw Anna out, I'm from the South, y'all, she would say the only thing that could thaw Anna out was an act of true love. See, when we come into the presence of the Lord, it fills us with the love of God. And we can love ourselves, and we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And I believe that the only thing that can save us saints is a pure act of supreme love that was given to us when God gave us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Haven't you heard it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life? And sadly, many of us here today are frozen by our circumstances. We are frozen when we realize that we have more bills than money to pay. We are frozen by the fear. We are frozen when we get that deadly diagnosis from the doctor. We are frozen with worry for our children. We are frozen by the senseless shootings and stabbings in schools. We are frozen by the bombings and the flawed justice system. And yes, saints, yes, the church, the universal church, I believe, is spiritually frozen. And we need to be unthawed. How can we say the presence of the Lord is here, considering the conditions of this world, the conditions of the church, the conditions of the family, and the condition of the economy? How can we say the presence of God is here when weekly we get reports that another young black male has been shot to death by the police? How can we say that the presence of the Lord is here when racism is alive and well and threatens the peace of our humanity? How can we say that the presence of the Lord is here when the president, the leader of the nation, intentionally stirs up hate and division, making vile and vulgar comments about people who are different from him? Don't you know? Any of us who have come into contact with the presence of the Lord, we understand that there is room enough for all of us at God's table. Amen? It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter your social location. God is so big. God has so much love. And there's so much space at God's table. Anybody that's willing and want to sit there can sit there. And how can we say that the presence of the Lord is here when a deranged gunman goes into the church, the very house of the Lord, and murders saints because they are black? How can we say that the presence of the Lord is here when a gunman can go into a gay nightclub in a public venue and shoot and kill 49 people because of their orientation? If you are like me, I know you must wonder and ask the question, God, where are you? But as Christians, we have to realize that our condition cannot determine our position with God. Amen? Our condition cannot determine our position with God. And you need to know that as Christians, we live by faith, not by sight. Our faith ought to remind us that God is always with us. And if our faith can't do it, study the word of God. The scriptures will remind you that the presence of God is with us from generation to generation. You need to know that our condition, again, does not and cannot and will not ever determine your position with God. I tell the young people all the time, your circumstances cannot ever dictate your value. That's just a work of the enemy. Amen? Amen? I believe that when we have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, things begin to become unthawed, or our condition and our circumstances are transformed, and they are restored by the divine power of God. And Paul, in his teachings, he advocated that Christianity was available to the Jews and the Gentiles and was rooted in the belief that Jesus had died and been raised from the dead for salvation for the world, not just Israel. And in short, Paul came to believe and advocate on the basis of his experience of the resurrected Christ that all people, both Jews and Gentiles, were privy to God's love and could have the right, and could have a right standing relationship with God through Christ. Have you ever wondered why Paul had so much passion for and was so committed to the church after his encounter with the presence? I believe because he experienced an act in that moment when he experienced the presence of the Lord on that road to Damascus. I believe that he experienced an encounter with the presence of the Lord as he was traveling. And that was a supreme act of God's love. God came down in God's very essence and chose him and spoke directly to him. And I was not there. I don't know. But I imagine if Paul was walking around breathing threats, I'm sure that people thought he was possessed. My faith tells me that Paul had an encounter with the risen Christ, but it is abundantly clear that something happened to Paul on that road to Damascus. How else do you explain his change in behavior? I can't tell you if Paul was converted from one religion to another, but I can tell you that I believe that he had an encounter with the presence of the Lord and that experience of a supreme act of love. When you have that encounter, saints, your life is changed and there is a renewing of the mind. And I can tell you that when you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is impossible becomes what? When you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is hopeless becomes what? When you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is dark becomes what? When you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is empty becomes what? When you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is barren becomes what? Fruitful. I heard it. Amen. Somebody studies the word of God. And when you have an encounter with the presence of the Lord, what is dead, saints, becomes alive. And it is only after this encounter that he gains his full knowledge of who he is through Christ Jesus, and he can walk in what I like to call his divine destiny. And the same holds true for us, saints. When we come into the presence of the Lord, and when God reveals God's self and God's manifested glory to us, God is going to give us divine instruction and set us on the path of righteousness and on the path to our divine destination for his sake, not ours. And that's why later on we see Paul ask the great question, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Because he knew, he understood that once he had that encounter, it was permanent. It was once and for all. I'm not going to debate what you do or how you do it, but I believe that when Jesus Christ died that one time and was raised from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and when you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe the work is done. I believe you are saved. And my faith allows me to believe that God has lavished on us an act of supreme love. And when he gave us this gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, that supreme act of love has transformative power, Greenwood. It has the power to reconcile God's people. It has the power to restore God's people back to God. It has the power to give us peace. You know, the kind of peace that surpasses understanding. You see, when the presence of the Lord comes upon you, it will change your name from Saul to Paul. When the presence of the Lord comes upon you, it will change your title from agitator to apostle. So, saints, I say to you, if God is here, then the presence of the Lord must be here. With us, among us, and in us. And if the presence of the Lord is here, then nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. I like the way Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it. He said it best. It is not that God's help and presence must still be proved in our life. Rather, God's presence and help have been demonstrated for us in the life of Jesus Christ. And my faith lets me know that the presence of the Lord is here, right here this morning in Greenwood Baptist Church, as I went about passing the peace, sharing the peace of Christ with you. I know that the presence of the Lord is here. From the moment that I walked into this sanctuary, I knew that the presence of the Lord was here. And when we read our Bible and when we study and when we reflect, we understand that the presence of the Lord is with us. And every time a saint receives Christ and is baptized in the faith and share their own powerful testimonies of how they have experienced God's presence, my spirit is full. And every Sunday, I know you experience the presence of the Lord with the beautiful songs of praise that carry us into a new spiritual stratosphere. We know that the presence of the Lord is here. And every time, saints, every time we come together to celebrate and to participate in that sacred act of communion, I am reminded that the presence of the Lord is here. But when we believe, our faith ought to remind us that our hope is in Jesus Christ. For the scripture says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he sees? But if you hope for what you do not see, we wait for it with endurance." And more than that, we ought to dig deep into the scriptures and listen to the voice of God. "For I know the plans I have for you, Greenwood Baptist Church, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Listen. 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 Can't you hear the voice of God saying to us, "Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Listen, can't you hear him saying, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Listen, saints, can't you hear him say, "I am with you always, even to the end of age." To God be the glory.